This is Marking Out. Pro wrestling talk for pro wrestling fans. We marking out, y'all. Follow on Twitter. Pro wrestling talk for pro wrestling fans. We marking out, y'all. Marking out. Pro wrestling talk for pro wrestling fans. We marking out, y'all. Brennan likes fisting. Pro wrestling talk for pro wrestling fans. We marking out, y'all. We're marking out. Pro Wrestling Talk by Pro Wrestling Fans.
Welcome to Marking Out. Pro Wrestling Talk by Pro Wrestling Fans. This is episode 654. Make sure that you check out markingout.com. Give us a like over on Facebook. Give us a follow over on Twitter. Give us another follow over on Instagram, on Threads, and on Twitch. Subscribe on YouTube. And also, make sure that you follow all of us individually, collectively, at Marking Out or at Marking 11. Follow Brandon at BTTG161. Follow me, myself, and I, Dave the Rave, at DavidPTDPT. And also follow Chris at ChrisSweenDog over on Twitter. And at Sweeney85. See, I'm Sweeney85 at an Instagram, not an at, on Instagram. But thank you very much for listening. We appreciate each and every one of you, and we'll appreciate you a little bit more if you buy a t-shirt at prowrestlingtees.com/markingout. But as you did not hear, I am here with Brandon. Brandon, how are you?
Still not awesome as always.
Why is that? What is the deal? What is keeping you down?
My immune system, I guess.
Well, I guess there's nothing we can... the power of positivity can't really boost you from that one, can it?
Nope.
Damn, I would say you need a little new day in your life, but I don't know if that's going to help you.
I need a new life. That's what I need.
What did you do this week?
I grilled some burgers. And I used a brand new mandolin for the first time to slice up tomatoes and onions. The onions were too big, so I really don't like this mandolin. But I used Wahlburgers hot dill pickles.
Hot damn! How did that taste?
They were decent. They sell them in the stores. You know, Wahlburgers is the Donnie and...
Marky Mark?
Yeah. But they're decent pickles. I would say try them if you're a fan of pickles.
Do they have a set of pickles called the Funky Bunch?
No, I think they're just, from what I've seen, they're just like three. There's Spears, and there's Hot Dill and Regular Dill chips.
Well, Hot Dill, ain't that something?
Also, something that sparked debate from first on TikTok and then on Twitter was that Soraya dips her pizza into mayonnaise. And I asked on TikTok how that started, and I asked if she dips French fries, and she said because they're British, people do it religiously there. And I'm not one to judge with pizza, so I had to try it for myself. And it wasn't bad, but it's not something that, like, I'm ever gonna do again.
Okay.
And I thought, like, I really thought it was gonna be vile. But I tried it before judging. I would just rather barbecue sauce if I'm gonna dip pizza, but that's a rare thing as is.
I do like barbecue sauce as a dipping sauce with pizza. I like ranch. I like blue cheese.
When she was making the video, I legitimately thought, because it's, like, such a hot topic as is, I thought she was going to say ranch, because that's like a big, like, you're either super into dipping your ranch or, like, how goddamn dare you even suggest dipping pizza in ranch.
Yeah, I can't imagine mayonnaise, though.
Yeah, so I tried it. It wasn't terrible. It was just not what I want from pizza. But people are using pizza product out there. She eats pizza product. I know Papa John's UK and... I forget who, maybe Little Caesars UK or something. Well, another pizza product chain tweeted her about it. And it's like, you step off. You guys are not pizza.
Yeah, so, we know who you are.
But again, it wasn't Domino's. Terrible. And then I went to Cheesecake Factory and I tried their new avocado tacos. Brand new to the menu this week. I just happened to pull up the app and I saw that. And it's jicama instead of the tortillas.
Mm-hmm.
So like raw jicama is holding the filling, which is crispy avocado, tomatillo slaw, and cilantro, and it has chipotle mayo, radish, and pickled onions on top. So
okay,
it's a very, very good dish, but it's mm-hmm. very, very messy. Because you're picking up already, working against it, is a wet piece of jicama.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you bite through it, it like all falls apart because it's jicama. It's not meant to bend, really.
Yeah.
So the execution, not great, but I would definitely say check it out if you're a fan of vegetables and avocados, because I thought it was a pretty good dish and I would 100% order it again.
Okay.
But that's really all I did this week. How about yourself? I know you went to a party of sorts.
Yeah. Salute had his bachelor party and it was great. It was a lot of fun. We ended up going to Top Golf, which was my first time going to Top Golf, which was really, really great. That was a lot of fun.
I would like to try Top Golf, but I don't think I would be good at it.
You don't have to be. They have like different games that you can play there.
Yeah, but you know, I'm with pretty the hitting. Sure, like mini golf, I think is one thing. Hitting a ball off of I assume you're hitting it off of a tee.
Not necessarily. You just have a green. You can use the green or the tee.
Either way, I don't. I've been to a putting green. I haven't been great at that.
Yeah, but I mean, even if they have obstacles that are close to you too, it's not like everything is a far drive, like long drive.
Yeah, they have just the drive in general. I don't think is a possibility for me.
I think you could if you wanted to, but you know, it was a lot of fun though. Then after this, that Top Golf, we went to a place called Carver's for some steak and some food, and that was delicious. And overall, it was just. And then after that, we just ended up going to one of our friend's house and just relaxing and chilling. You know, it was a really nice time. You know, it wasn't too crazy. All of us had Chris had to wake up early the next day. Everybody really had things that they had to get done. So it was really everything was in moderation and everything was really relaxing and fairly and low key, but totally needed, a ton of fun, and yeah, loved every bit of it.
Fun.
But, yeah, that was my weekend.
Let's move over to Monday Night Raw.
Monday Night Nitro.
That's so gross. The Judgment Day kicked off the show with Finn Balor missing. And Damian Priest said that Finn Balor should have walked out of SummerSlam as champion. And they should have won their match last week. And then he also said that Finn Balor's going to be handling Cody Rhodes later on. And then I guess he kind of like flip-flopped and got kind of mouthy about Finn Balor not being out there with them. And JD McDonagh came out to deliver a message from Finn Balor saying, "Don't worry about our friendship." As in JD McDonagh and Finn Balor, worry about the Judgment Day as a whole and worry about Cody Rhodes. And then Rhea Ripley told JD McDonagh to go tell Finn Balor that they need to talk. Sami Zayn interrupted and brawled with JD McDonagh. He took out Sami last week. We saw that big, big elbow gimmick from Sami Zayn last week. So there was some blood there. Bad blood, I guess you'd say.
Mm-hmm.
And, JD tried to get help from the Judgment Day, but they just stood there. Kind of like you're on your own, kid.
Yeah.
I think I even just packed in some Taylor Swift lyrics there.
Nice.
Multiple albums. But then it leads into Sami Zayn picking up the victory over JD McDonagh, which is awesome to see JD on Monday Night Raw again. It's been a bit.
Yeah, he hasn't been around for a fairly long time.
And Sami Zayn was advised against doing this match due to the injury. But I thought it was a decent match. Balor showed up, and JD McDonagh almost won from that distraction. But the match continued. Finn Balor got up on the apron, and Sami Zayn knocked him off, and I guess really had no effect on the outcome of the match there.
Yeah. Didn't have any involvement.
So it was cool, like I said, to see JD McDonagh. After that, Chelsea Green and Adam Pearce were backstage, and he tried to talk to her about the tag team championships. He tried to, I guess, take them from her without actually saying it. And then she yelled about needing to call a manager, perhaps. And he asked what she would do. So she pitched Chelsea's Got Talent, which we've seen over the weekend. Maybe you haven't seen it.
She's been having a ton of submissions of videos of people who want to team up with Chelsea Green. Who has been your favorite submission so far?
The execution of it I didn't enjoy because of the voice moderation on it, but the fact that La Luchadora submitted a Chelsea's Got Talent, I think, is a fantastic markout moment for me. R-Truth was a fantastic one.
I thought that was good.
There was a paid cameo video from Heidi, is it Montag? From the Hills?
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was pretty funny. But you have a favorite?
I'm going to say Mr. Cardona so far.
Oh, my God. That was funny. Yeah, that was that was a good one also.
I thought that was very, very unexpected.
Yeah.
Let's see. And I'm hoping that he'll submit one, but I hope Nick is going to submit one.
Who the hell's Nick?
Nicholas.
Well, that's Nicholas, not Nick.
Well, and I mean, that's there's no way.
I mean, it seems like it's already done at this point. We saw Katana Chance and Kaden Carter walk in, and they were like, which I wasn't expecting. I thought they were going to be like, we want the titles. You have no partner. But they were like, when you find a new partner, we'll be there for a title match. And Piper Niven walked in, came out of nowhere, attacked Katana Chance. And she's like, I'm your new partner. And took the championship. And Chelsea's like, I was going to hold auditions. And Piper's like, nope, it's me. So, and I think they definitely could have gone longer with the whole Chelsea's Got Talent thing. But I'm not disappointed with how Piper Niven barged her way in there and took the title. Because that shows that she's like a dominant character. And we need that because she hasn't been on TV in weeks, months.
I was a bit bummed over it because I wanted to see it last longer, but
right.
I totally get, I mean,
she comes off looking super dominant now.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, what's going to be the difference with this and her teaming up with Eva Marie though, you know?
Well, Eva Marie didn't wrestle, so.
That's true.
Very different.
That's true.
After that, we saw Imperium, where Gunther cut a promo on the commentary table about Chad Gable. And he said that he achieved more in his first year on the main roster than Chad Gable's done in his entire career. To which the Alpha Academy interrupted. It just further sets up the championship match for Chad Gable, as well as a match with Giovanni Vinci. And then Ludwig Kaiser spoke and put them both down. He hit on Maxine again. She ends up slapping him. But we go right into the match where Chad Gable picks up the victory over Giovanni Vinci. I liked that Michael Cole mentioned that both competitors are former multi-time tag team champions.
Yeah, covering that all of their history with it.
And I thought it was a decent match. I think Gable obviously needed that victory there going into now that we know next week to face Gunther for the championship.
I agree. I think that it was good. And hey, this is, I believe, two times within Gable's potentially on a win streak.
Perhaps. But, I mean, it's not going to continue. But Gunther was super pissed off after Chad Gable won, and he challenged Otis to a match where he picked up the victory over Otis, which I would have been really surprised if Otis won. So I didn't think that he was going to win this. But it was still a hard-hitting match between them. I think it could have been more hard-hitting.
I thought that it was okay. It still was hard-hitting enough for me. When I see Otis, I see like a natural disaster character.
Yeah, I mean, it showed that Gunther, I mean, he powerbombed Otis.
Which is incredible.
So it shows that it's like, it really is going to be like David versus Goliath when Chad Gable has to go up against Gunther again, this time for the Intercontinental Championship.
Yeah.
And as soon as the match was over, Chad Gable went into the ring and hit Gunther with the German suplex. And then later on, Gunther yelled at Imperium. And he also, that's when he sets up that if Chad Gable wants that championship, he'll have to try for it next week.
Yeah.
So that should be fun.
I think that's going to be an awesome match. Do you think that Gunther is going to lose to Gable, though?
No, he has to surpass Honky Tonk Man. There's no way he's not.
I agree.
There's less
How
than
much
a
longer?
Month now, I think.
Wow.
So I don't see him losing the championship before that record breaks.
Yeah.
And like I've said in the past, I hope that the record goes until like Royal Rumble or something.
Yeah.
That's a fine number. He doesn't have to lose it beforehand. He doesn't have to lose it anytime, like immediately after breaking Honky Tonk Man's record. Just Royal Rumble seems like a good time to have Sheamus or somebody else. It's WrestleMania season.
Yeah, get you started into. So you wouldn't go into WrestleMania with it? I guess not. Needed, right?
Yeah, even if you want to go into WrestleMania and have that, I think that's.
I mean,
a
you
huge
can always have him lose it at. You could always have him lose it at Royal Rumble and then have the rematch at WrestleMania.
Either or, but then it's like, there's Sheamus who needs it. There's John Cena who needs it. Mm-hmm. Maybe Sheamus wins at Royal Rumble, Gunther's furious, it goes all the way to WrestleMania somehow, and John Cena gets involved, you have a triple threat.
Yeah.
John Cena wins. Last championship he needs, I think, to become a Grand Slam.
That would be really cool to see.
Earlier in the night, we saw Drew McIntyre interviewed, and he was asked what's next for him, which was interrupted by Matt Riddle, who told Drew McIntyre that he got them a tag team match. And Riddle did so much talking here. It didn't look like Drew McIntyre was, like, pleased with the fact that he had to go wrestle a tag team match later. But
yeah.
We go to the tag team match where Matt Riddle and Drew McIntyre actually beat the Viking Raiders.
Which, I mean, there was a moment where I thought Viking Raiders could definitely pull it out. But foolish
it was,
me.
It was played up at, like, oh, will Drew McIntyre even be there for Matt Riddle? But he showed up before the match started. Drew literally stood on the apron for a good amount of this while Matt Riddle got his ass kicked.
Yeah, he
not,
didn't really...
It's not it's, at fault of Riddle because Riddle was... He was being controlled on the other side of the ring, which is something you very much so need in tag team wrestling.
Oh, yeah. It has to be that one-sided attack where you're on that other half of the ring. It can't carry over to the other one. It has to be on the opposite side.
But he finally did tag out. Drew McIntyre took over for a bit. The Raiders, they did get control again as Matt Riddle got tagged back in. But when Drew McIntyre got back into the match final time, he hit Eric with that Claymore. I really thought we were going to see Drew McIntyre, like, take Matt Riddle out during the match, after the match. But that didn't happen. Matt Riddle was, like, very happy about the outcome.
Mm-hmm.
And told Drew that he thinks that they could win the tag team titles, which then the New Day interrupted that. And it sets up a match for next week to see who will face off for the tag team titles, I guess. So maybe next week we'll see McIntyre take out Riddle?
So we're definitely thinking that it's going to happen?
I mean, is that what you think?
You know what? I wouldn't mind seeing a heel turn for McIntyre.
It seemed like it. I don't know.
I wouldn't mind seeing it. Would be a nice change of pace for McIntyre. I mean, would be interesting.
But if next, if creative has something for him as a heel.
Nah.
I don't see next, him taking the title from Gunther.
Nah. Next up, you have Rhea Ripley picking up a victory over Indy Hartwell. Candice LeRae was at ringside as well. And I was a big fan of this match in general, but also a big fan of this pretty much breaking off. Breaking off because of Indy Hartwell and Candice LeRae trying to break up that brawl the other week and them pretty much getting into it with Rhea Ripley. So I'm really happy to see that this match did take place. Rhea Ripley picked up the victory. There was that point where she did go after Candice LeRae as well.
Yeah, well, I don't really think the fans were into this match. And it's like almost like, why should they when Indy Hartwell hasn't wrestled a singles match on TV since NXT?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm a huge fan of the way, but the way that they've been on the main roster has kind of been like really off. Even, I mean, Ciampa's been like not on WWE TV, but he's been like posting like missing posters for Gargano.
Yeah.
So it's weird because we haven't seen them much lately.
Yeah, I worry about their situation because, like you said, they really haven't been seen.
But like you said, she attacked Candice LeRae during the match, and right after the match was over, Candice attacked her.
I mean, so next week we're going to have the matchup.
So after that, we had Shinsuke Nakamura talking about why he attacked Seth Rollins last week, and it's because he wants the championship. Seth Rollins came out and said all he had to do was ask. And he accepted a challenge, told him to name the time, name the place. He shook hands with Nakamura over it. Nakamura said something in Seth's ear. He looked shook. I don't know what Nakamura would have said then, but
I can't think of anything that he would have said that, like, I mean, Nakamura is not a big talker to begin with, but for him to say something that could cause such a reaction from Seth Rollins, I don't know what.
Yeah, I don't know. But
maybe he said Hell Hydra?
Yeah.
I don't.
But he hit Seth Rollins with a Kinshasa to end that segment. We saw The Miz interviewed. He was asked about LA Knight from last week, and Miz played it up as if he's better than LA Knight, and he claimed that he's going to beat a bigger and badder opponent on Raw next week to prove that, and maybe even show up on SmackDown. But who could he possibly... Do you think maybe we'll see somebody like a joke like Goldberg show up or something like that? Not specifically Goldberg, but for Miz to be like, oh, I'm a much bigger star than LA Knight. I'm going to beat somebody who's bigger and badder. To me, who's described as bigger and badder is Bronson Reed. He's not even on TV right now for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't see it being Bronson Reed. It has to be somebody who Miz could actually, like, get one over on.
Yeah.
So, maybe Goldberg?
I can't see him going that route, though.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't really predict the future.
Yeah.
But after that, we saw Trish Stratus pick up no victories. She faced off against Becky Lynch, and it ended in a double countout. I thought, for some reason, I thought this was the main event.
Yeah, I thought so too, but then I saw the time.
Yeah, I didn't. That was very weird. Fans weren't really into this match at all. It was sloppy at times, unfortunately.
Yeah, I feel like this is why this match was cut from SummerSlam.
I don't know what was going on. I had higher hopes for this. Trish at one point took her protective face mask off, and they fought out of the ring and into the crowd, which is when the people started to actually care, but it spilled into the hallway. Zoe Stark showed up. She was banned from ringside. She showed up. Obviously, she's not ringside. And she helped Trish Stratus out. And they fought by the merch stand and everything. I liked when Trish held up the Seth Rollins shirt. I thought that was funny.
Yeah.
But Adam Pearce was super pissed off about this. And announced they're going to be doing a cage match.
Yeah, I was very surprised at that because it didn't really make sense to have that. Outside
have
of them brawling into the crowd.
Wait, have what though?
The cage.
I think they desperately need a stipulation for this match.
I think stipulation, but honestly, I don't think even adding a stipulation is going to make me care any more about this. Like, I know a lot of people were angry that this match was taken off the card, but now we're starting to see why. There's really,
I don't know.
There's not
people
really much of an appeal.
Too, though, so I don't know.
There's not much of an appeal to it. But main event of the evening, you had Cody Rhodes picking up the victory over Finn Balor. Finn Balor almost came out with the victory, but...
Were you into this?
I was at the end. I was when JD McDonagh came out.
Yeah, I wasn't really into this match.
Yeah,
we saw Dominic get involved. We saw Rhea Ripley come out. And Damian Priest eventually came out as well. But Dominic ended up knocking Cody Rhodes off the top rope. And I feel like the referee should have been able to see him from where he was compared to where Dominic was.
Yeah.
But he ended up sliding a chair into the ring, which the referee saw and yelled at Finn Balor over. And then Damian Priest slid the Money in the Bank briefcase and it went right through his legs with like the Bill Buckner spot.
Yeah, I thought that was a funny spot.
And Cody got it.
I was so pissed at this spot too because I was like, finally, Finn Balor's going to trust Damian Priest, and they're going to rectify everything that's going wrong with Judgment Day, because I don't want to see Judgment Day break up. So I was like, yes, look at him. This is perfect spot. Slide him the briefcase. Finn Balor hits him with the briefcase. The both of them raise each other's hands in victory. And then it went through his legs. I'm like, oh, damn it. I should have seen that coming.
Yeah. But I'm kind of surprised that Cody actually used it.
I'm not surprised.
I don't know. I feel like using it on Damian Priest, yes, but using it on your actual opponent, Finn Balor, I feel like not.
You hold the faces and heels too close to your heart, my friend.
I just feel like Cody's a character right now that wouldn't have done that.
Obviously, you're wrong because he did it.
Obviously I'm wrong. But then he hit the crossroads on Finn Balor to pick up the victory. The Judgment Day jumped Cody Rhodes. Sami Zayn tried to make the save, and JD McDonagh showed up and took Sami Zayn out, and Damian Priest put Sami through that commentary table.
Yeah, Damian Priest, I hit him with that perfect razor's edge through the table. It just sent him flying.
But it seems like you keep thinking maybe they're going to break up, but maybe they're going to get stronger and have JD McDonagh actually join them.
So that's what I'm thinking. After seeing this finale, I think we're going to keep on being teased with the breakup of Balor and the Judgment Day. But I feel like JD McDonagh is going to end up being the glue between Damian Priest and Finn Balor, where he's going to be like, listen, trust him. We're all on the same page together. And in doing so, JD McDonagh is going to end up joining Judgment Day. And their group, like you just said, is just going to get stronger and larger. So yeah. I feel like JD McDonagh's going to be the saving grace for Judgment Day.
Well, we'll see. That's Monday Night Raw. Moving over to NXT that kicked off with the family picking up the victory over the Dyad to retain the tag team championships.
Yeah, I was surprised that this matchup kicked off everything because of the finale. But the match itself was really good. But,
yeah,
I mean, you've been calling this...
I wouldn't have been like... First of all, I wouldn't have liked if the family's reign was so short.
Uh-huh.
But I also would have been really happy that the Dyad won championships.
Yeah.
So, that kind of sucks. But we saw Jagger.
Yeah, what? You called it.
Called what?
The end of this? with the Creeds.
Oh. Yeah, so during the match, we saw Jagger hit Tony with the cheap shot, and he ends up arguing with the referee. Stax over there had way more than a three count. So I thought there was going to be some tension from there, but the family was able to recover. Tony eventually did get tagged in. The referee at some points didn't really have control, which I hate. It's like a tag match. Use, like, why aren't you counting or something like that?
Yeah.
Ivy Niles showed up during this, and Joe Gacy with the rest of Schism and Ava backed her up.
They got so distracted during this.
Yeah, and the ending I thought was really, really well done, because you had two members from quote-unquote Schism, who we're going to assume is the Creed brothers, attack the dyad from behind when the referee was focused on whatever was going on the ramp. And Joe Gacy, as you hear the count of the pin, he thinks it's the dyad winning the championships. And I thought that was a very nice touch that they added there.
Yeah.
But it was, in fact, the family retaining. And it seems like the dyad will be leaving WWE come September or whenever the contracts are up. So that really sucks.
I know. It's such a downer for that to actually be taking place. I mean, it does stink. But, I mean, and you predicted the end of this.
Yeah, well,
you predicted this for a long time.
I don't know if I predicted it. And first of all, we don't know that it's the Creeds.
Yeah, no, you straight up predicted it. You said that the Creeds are one of the dyads. Or no,
yeah, but we still don't officially know. So we don't know.
I think commentary said it was the Creeds.
We don't know. They were still masked.
Yeah, but I think the commentary said it, or the commentary mentioned the Creeds.
Yeah, but I don't. We don't know that if it would be them.
I guess we'll find out next week. But next up, Lair Davenport picked up the victory over Dana Brooke, stemming from everything taking place last week.
Yeah, this was Dana showing off a more aggressive side of her.
Yeah, but very very nice to see the aggressive side of her, but.
It was also I don't want to say stupid, but like she went to go use the ring bell.
Yeah.
And Kalani Jordan wouldn't let her use it. She was like, you'll get disqualified. This isn't you, basically. Blair Davenport ends up hitting Dana Brooke with those two nasty knee shots before actually picking up the victory, which I think the first one would have been like more than enough.
Mm-hmm.
But now we just find out. I'm sure maybe this leads to Dana Brooke being like, you screwed me out of that victory to Kalani Jordan. Maybe I should show you some tough love and get in the ring with me. And then Kalani Jordan has that upset victory and it's like, oh my God, I won, blah, blah, blah. And she goes on to get more victories out of that.
Yeah, that's true. Next up, you had Trick Williams pick up the victory over Drew Gulak.
Damon Kemp at one point hit Trick Williams with a cheap shot behind the referee's back. And then he distracted the referee while Charlie Dempsey got involved. So it led to Briggs and Jensen running out and brawling with Damon Kemp and Charlie Dempsey to the back. I thought this match was kind of weird. I know Gulak has it in him, but I don't think this really prepares Trick for Ilya Dragunov.
I agree with you too. I think Ilya Dragunov, I don't know what I would do differently to have him prepare for him.
Like if maybe Gulak had more submissions in the match, more where it looked more like he would be beating Trick Williams.
I don't know what I would have liked to see that would have made me would have convinced me that he would have been a competitor against Ilya Dragunov.
Well,
I don't think there's really anything. I mean, Ilya Dragunov is, to me, one of the top of the top right now in NXT.
I would like to see Dragunov versus Gulak. I don't know if we've had that before, but yeah. I think that'd be a good matchup. But after that, they aired a vignette for Dabba Kato, basically just saying he's returning soon, and we don't know when. So we'll put a pin in that.
Yeah, to be continued.
After that, Baron Corbin had a promo, I guess you'd call it, where he said that everyone in the back is soft, and Von Wagner and Robert Stone interrupted, and Robert Stone said that Von Wagner is standing in Baron Corbin's way of getting back to the top. And Corbin was like, why are you talking? If he's the one standing in my way, why isn't he the one talking? But I like how Corbin brought up how on the debut episode of SmackDown on Fox, he went toe-to-toe on the mic with The Rock. I thought that was a cool thing to bring up. Man. But especially because they were talking specifically about talking. And then Von Wagner spoke up and he challenged Baron Corbin to a match next week at Heatwave. And Corbin went to attack Von Wagner, but Wagner saw it coming and he went to table Corbin, I guess you'd say. And it was broken up before he could do that. So maybe Baron Corbin gets tabled next week.
I think he's going to get tabled next week.
Corbin also mentioned chasing an Olympic gold medalist out of the territory to say, I don't know how to finish that sentence. He spoke about chasing an Olympic gold medalist out of the company, basically. So we don't know what's next for Gable Steveson.
Yeah, and I mean, even with Baron Corbin, do you think it's okay with everything that's taking place? I want to see, I don't know. It seems like he's still trying to find himself.
Yeah, but I mean, maybe in now general. We'll see him building up as much talent as he possibly can.
Yeah, I could see that. I definitely see him being a champion at some point. I think he's very talented.
We saw Bron Breakker approach Baron Corbin later on, and he's like, I'm not done with Von Wagner. And Corbin laughed it off, and he's like, I mean, you got put through a table. So he kind of like made fun of him for getting tabled by Von Wagner. And Corbin's like, I'm not intimidated by you. So maybe Breakker shows up next week and does something.
That could happen too.
We saw the Judgment Day in the locker room, Rhea Ripley and Dominic, where Rhea Ripley laid out a challenge for Dragon Lee and Lyra Valkyria for a mixed tag match next week. So we're going to see that match. That's fun. I'm looking forward to that.
I agree.
We had Mustafa Ali have a vignette of sorts where it was pretty political about him becoming the North American champion. So I don't really see him winning the championship, but it still continues him wanting the championship. And I think it'd be fine if he won the championship.
I would be all right with that.
After that, we saw Wesley pick up the victory over Dijak to become the number one contender for the NXT championship.
Yeah, this was a solid match. I was hoping that Dijak would win, but I understand Wesley winning.
Well, Eddie Thorpe earlier in the night said that he wasn't done with Dijak. But we didn't know when they would cross paths again. And we saw Dijak control a majority of this match. He worked on Wesley's shoulder, which he went to go do a move later on in the match and couldn't because of the shoulder. I liked before getting so much damage done to his shoulder, he countered a move into a powerbomb, which I guess showed off a more strength side, a stronger side of Wesley. But just like how Wesley's shoulder went out, Dijak's knee went out. And on one leg, Dijak planted that huge sit-out chokeslam. which Wesley kicked out of. And I thought that was a dope move.
I agree. Dijak is just so talented.
Very, very, very talented. But here's where Eddie Thorpe comes into play. He came out and served as a distraction. And Lee was able to take over and pick up the victory there. So, we're going to see Dijak versus Eddie Thorpe again, 100%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's definitely going to be happening.
After that, we saw Tyler Bate pick up the victory over Joe Coffey via disqualification. We saw NXT Anonymous catch Gallus verbally attacking Tyler Bate at a live event, I guess, while he was meeting fans. That took place over the weekend. And I was enjoying the match.
Mm-hmm.
But then Dabba Kato showed up and he attacked Tyler Bate.
Yeah, I mean, Dabba Kato, they were teasing earlier in the night with, I mean, not even really teasing. They were just saying that he's on his way, that he's going to be appearing at some point, at some place, unknown. And then during this match, there's like no music, no nothing. He just comes charging down and nails that big, nasty boot.
Big and it boot. Seemed like he was going to be going for Joe too, but Gallus pulled him out of the ring.
Yeah, I mean, it seemed like he was just, Dabba Kato was just unhinged. He was going to go after anybody and everybody that he could possibly get his hands on.
But it most likely is going to be leading to Tyler Bate versus Dabba Kato.
And, I mean, Dabba Kato has to win, no?
I have no idea what they're doing with Dabba Kato at this point.
That's very, very true.
After that, Nathan Fraser had his talk show, whatever you would call it, not a talk show, just a show. And Metaphor interrupted with Supernova Sessions, which I thought was funny. And I thought the segment, like the back and forth between the two shows, was funny, like in general. Mm-hmm. It was a funny way to recap everything that's happened and to add to it as well for the NXT, I guess it's not anymore a UK, but NXT Heritage Cup. So I think that was a cool way to do it because I think I've said this so many times. Noam Dar is so good on the mic and the Supernova Sessions. If you've not seen any of the Supernova Sessions from NXT UK from during the pandemic, you should 100% go onto Peacock, WWE Network and seek those out because they were such good segments.
Yeah, you've always been a big fan of those, you know?
Yeah. So that pushes that match. We saw JC Jane pick up the victory over Thea Hale. Where Thea told Andre Chase earlier not to, she's like, oh, maybe you could try not to throw in the towel this time. And at one point in this match, we saw Andre Chase fixing an exposed turnbuckle. So he was up on the apron. Thea Hale turns around. She doesn't know that he's fixing a turnbuckle pad, I should say. So she yells at him, and JC Jane, that was the distraction. She rolled her up and picked up the victory there.
Yeah, I was really surprised at this, and I think that they said that it was going to be a big win for JC Jane over Thea Hale, but I
don't
didn't
know about that.
Right? I didn't understand that. Like commentary was making it say like they were like, "Oh yeah, no, JC, this is a huge win over Thea Hale and for JC, a huge win for JC Jane." And I'm like, it's like everybody forgot where JC Jane actually was.
I would say that the way that it's unfortunate that what happened with Mandy happened because when that went away, it seemed like Gigi Dolin and JC Jane really just like fizzled out big time. Mm-hmm. Even their feud against each other wasn't like,
it didn't last too long.
Yeah. And it wasn't like impactful, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
After that, though, we saw a Los Lotharios video package where they focused on Humberto Garza, their grandfather, which I thought was a very cool video package for them. I don't know who was narrating that because I thought for a second it might have been their grandfather, but I don't know. That doesn't make sense. Like, I don't know if they would have had to have had this recording from somewhere. He's not here anymore, so.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who that was narrating, but I thought it was a very, very well done video package for them. And I hope when they come back, they do get a serious championship run. So,
yeah, I really want to see Los Lotharios be taken seriously.
Yeah. And then throughout the night, we saw Carmelo Hayes like signing autographs for, I think he was meeting with like quote unquote fans backstage and signing autographs. And Wes Lee, I think it was Wes Lee throughout the night, also kept like going up to him. But at this very last moment, he was like kind of ticked off that that's what Carmelo Hayes was doing all night. And he demanded that Carmelo Hayes go to the ring to sign the contract. He's like, I already signed it. He throws all the 8x10s and stuff that Carmelo would be signing to the ground, and then dragged the table to the ring himself. He's like, I don't want to wait for next week to next week would be the actual match, I think.
Next week, yeah.
So
it should be.
I guess he doesn't want to wait, whatever, which I really don't get the attitude from Wes Lee here, because he's acting as if he wasn't just the longest reigning North American champion, having like really good matches. So it's weird, but like also cool at the same time that Wes Lee actually got to do that. And he's even in the championship match next week against Carmelo.
Yeah.
Because when Nash Carter was released, I did not see any of this happening for Wes Lee.
No, not at all. I mean, I was actually thinking the same thing. Like, if Nash was still with the company, where would they be?
It would seriously, I really think it would just be still tag team champion division.
Yeah, I
don't
think that he would be anywhere.
And I don't disagree with what Wes Lee was saying. He brought up how when he lost his partner, like almost nobody believed in him. And it's like, I really didn't see anything bigger for Wes Lee, and he really turned it around. And I guess Shawn Michaels let him do that. So I think that's a really like a prove you wrong sort of situation.
Uh-huh.
But I still don't really get that attitude. But Carmelo Hayes used TLC's waterfalls to tell Wes Lee that he's not losing next week, which I popped for.
I didn't pop for that. I thought it was, like, stupid.
I mean, it's like, it's...
Like, he straight up quoted this song. He's saying the song.
Yeah, but the meaning is there. So it's like, it's not like, it's not lost on me.
Yeah, I get it with the meeting. That's true.
But Wes Lee, to show attitude or whatever, stomped his way through the table. And he's like, I'll see you next week.
I mean, we've never seen anything like that before.
No, and I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, I thought that was very interesting. We've never seen anybody do that before, where at the contract signing, they just jump up and stomp through the table.
Yeah.
That was very innovative. I like that spot. I, although, don't think Carmelo Hayes is going to lose the championship right now.
No.
Not at all. That's hard to see.
That's NXT. Moving over to SmackDown. It opened up with the Grayson Waller effect, with the LWO as the guests. And Grayson Waller spoke about what happened last week with Santos Escobar, with Rey Mysterio winning the championship, trying to build tension between them. Because Rey won the title and Santos Escobar was supposed to be in that match. And then Santos said that the only person that he's angry with is Austin Theory. And then Austin Theory came out and he said that he got played last week, and he demands that Adam Pearce comes out and hands him his title back. And Adam Pearce came out, but was immediately cut off by LA Knight, who got a huge pop, because that's getting pop everywhere. Pops everywhere. He wants a match with Austin Theory, and he's like, let's make it a number one contenders match. And then Adam Pearce set that up. Austin Theory picked up the victory over LA Knight. Miz showed up before the match started. He joined commentary. LA Knight at one point tossed Austin Theory into the Miz, and Miz got up on the apron to distract LA Knight, but he was able to hit Austin Theory with a DDT. Then Miz ended up getting in the ring. He got clotheslined out, and that was the distraction that did LA Knight in, because Austin Theory rolled up LA Knight and grabbed a hold of his trunks to get that extra leverage. After that, Charlotte Flair and Bianca Belair picked up the victory over Damage Control, which I thought was a very entertaining match. The first hot tag spot I thought was weird, but outside of that and also the champion losing, I don't think Io Sky should have lost this match. Even though it was Bayley taking the pin, I don't think the champion should have lost. But outside of that, I really much so enjoyed this match. Backstage, Bianca Belair was about to be interviewed. Damage Control beat her up. They smashed her bad leg, and Adam Pearce, shooed them away. After that, we saw the Street Profits pick up the victory over the OC. Definitely a more aggressive side of the Street Profits, and rightfully so, since they have that new formed alliance with Bobby Lashley. They had a new sit-out powerbomb neckbreaker finisher, too, which was dope. And Bobby Lashley showed up afterwards to celebrate. So I'm liking this new group. I'm glad we got a match with the Street Profits. I'm glad that we're getting a more aggressive side of them. I think that's pretty cool. After that, backstage, Paul Heyman was interviewed. He didn't really give Kayla too much at first when he was asked about the bloodline, but he was set off when she mentioned rumors about the bloodline. And then Paul Heyman dug into her family life, which was so weird. It was like, if you know, you know, sort of situations there. But Paul ends up getting a phone call. He takes the phone call, and Kayla asks him about it, and he said that as per his source, he's not going to reveal his source, Jimmy Uso will be on SmackDown next week. So what comes of that, we'll see next week. Throughout the night, though, they aired a bunch of videos from different superstars to celebrate Edge's 25th anniversary. John Cena, Sheamus, Natalya, The Miz, Charlotte Flair, Sami Zayn, Cody Rhodes, Kevin Owens, Becky Lynch, Rey Mysterio, Kurt Angle. They were all interviewed. I think that was a pretty cool thing that they did. They also showed a clip. It was a video package, but it opened up with the clip of Edge on that talk show from before he started. It was while he was training, I guess. But it was very early on in his career. Bret Hart was on, and he got advice from Bret Hart. And I think that's cool that they included that in the video package. Also super cool that the Hardy Boys were in the video package, not like live interviews or anything like that from them, but just seeing footage of them, the Dudley Boys, and all these great Edge moments. It was really a really cool thing. And then, of course, the main event, we saw Edge pick up the victory over Sheamus. The pop for Edge, I think, obviously was insane. They were in Toronto. Beth Phoenix was there ringside with their kids. I thought this was a great main event. And they gave this a lot of time, which was really nice. And I just wish that they presented this without commercials. I liked that superplex into the execution spot. I liked Sheamus hitting the white noise from the middle rope and then following that up with the Celtic Cross. But Sheamus eventually goes for a brogue kick, and it looked like that was about to be it. Edge kicks out. He goes for another one. Edge steps out of the way, rolls him up. Sheamus kicks out, rocks Sheamus with a spear. And when you think that's it, Sheamus kicks out. And I thought that was a very well done spot. And both Edge and Sheamus went to the corners. Sheamus went for another brogue kick. Edge went for another spear, and in the end, it was Edge who hit the spear and then won the match. And this was a fantastic main event, a great way to celebrate the 25th anniversary of Edge in WWE. It was apparently his final match on his current contract, so we don't really know what's next for Edge. And a lot of people on Twitter think he's showing up on AEW Collision this week. They think he's showing up on Dynamite next week. They think he's showing up at AEW All In next week. And really the only thing you could say is never say never, because it's pro wrestling. I don't personally see it, but who knows? But that is SmackDown. Going to take a quick little break right now, and I'll be right back here on Marking Out.
Yo, yo, what's up, y'all? This is Daryl McDaniels on all the stations and all of the channels. And the only place for you to be listening to anything that has to do with what we do here is right here on Marking Out Without a Doubt.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Marking Out, episode 654. Chris, again, unfortunately, is not with us. But I'm going to go to last week's Rampage and just talk about that. Start with Darby Allin picking up the victory over Brian Cage. Brian Cage again having his face painted, this time a little bit like Ace Frehley. Maybe it's a powers of pain thing, but I don't think the face paint works. The match I thought was decent. It was kind of a standard Darby Allin match, though, where Brian Cage controls most of it, and then Darby wins with a roll-up. I don't understand how that crucifix bomb from the middle rope wasn't the finish, but an inside cradle is. But after the match, Luchasaurus attacked Darby Allin, and it just continues their feud. We saw Orange Cassidy pick up the victory over Johnny JTV, John Morrison, to retain the championship. Something so ridiculous that was constantly brought up when John Morrison was in WWE was that he's always just stuck in some comedy position and WWE refuses to push him into a serious role. And this is, what is this? This is the same thing. What do people consider QTV to be? Why aren't people complaining about this? This was a comedy match, and QTV got in the ring. The referee turned around. It looked like something out of Looney Tunes. And then Wheeler Yuta showed up to distract Orange Cassidy. He got kicked from ringside, so he went to go do commentary. And then Orange Cassidy told him to get in the ring afterwards, and Blackpool Combat Club surrounded him like sharks. They walked off. So that sets up a championship match for Orange Cassidy and Wheeler Yuta. I know the match already took place. Yuta should not have been in a match like that. I don't think Yuta's championship material right now. After that, we saw Aussie Open pick up the victory over Truth Magnum and Turbo Floyd to retain the Ring of Honor Tag Team Championships. They aired a very nice video package about the Ring of Honor Tag Team titles. And they included people like AJ Styles, Kevin Steen. Still don't really care about those titles. I don't care about Aussie Open, I should say. And Ring of Honor programming on AEW TV. To me, just still doesn't make sense. But I appreciate the fact that they aired that video package because it makes the championships mean more. And it makes me more interested. But I still don't care about seeing a Ring of Honor tag team title match in 2023. Zero control by the referee in this match, but the main point of it was for Aussie Open to accept Adam Cole and MJF's challenge for All In. And then in the main event, we saw Saraya pick up the victory over Sky Blue to advance to All In, just like everybody could have assumed. The outcome, I think, was just an obvious one. The Outcast got involved and then beat Sky Blue down afterwards. I thought there was going to be some sort of save. There was not. But that closed Rampage. Moving over to AEW Collision and opened up with Ricky Starks. I'm really happy that we're getting follow-up from last week's main event. Right at the open of the show. And Ricky Starks had Ricky Steamboat's belt. And because of everything that he did last week to Ricky Steamboat, he's suspended for 30 days. But somehow Ricky Starks was able to get a managerial license and can still manage, which is, if you're suspended, you're suspended. I don't think he should like, oh, well, I got my managerial license. Well, you're allowed to be a manager, but you can't be a wrestler. That's dumb. Ricky Starks, when he kept off the biggest show that AEW's ever going to do, come on. I think that's so goofy. But he blamed CM Punk for what happened to Ricky Steamboat. it seems like one of those creative has nothing for you things, but I'll continue to let this play out on Saturday nights on Collision. After that, the Acclaimed picked up the victory over the Iron Savages. Really nice to see Boulder and Bronson back on TV. It's been absolute, like, months. Like, I think it's even been over a year since they were last on TV. Which is such a shame because I think both of them are so, so talented. But also, coincidentally, I'm pretty sure the last time they were on TV, they lost to the Acclaimed. But the only thing about this match that I would have preferred to not see was when the opponents were tossing whoever they were in the ring with into the corners of where the partners were. So the partners were able to tag in and out. I feel like if you're going to be in a tag team match, you're going to want to isolate the person you're wrestling and keep them in your corner, not in their corner. So that's like the only thing. And of course, the referee had little control at times. So outside of that, I'm more than happy watching matches like this. I would love to see more matches with Bear, Bronson, and Boulder. Beefcake Boulder. After that, Diamante and Mercedes Martinez picked up perhaps a surprising victory over Chris Statlander and Willow Nightingale. I think something here to compare to Ricky Starks here. On his nameplate, it mentioned the Owen Hart tournament as him being the winner. Willow's did not. And I think that's one of those things that it's like AEW doesn't really care about women's wrestling. When something like that slips through, I don't get it. But as far as this match goes, I wish we had like a promo beforehand to have a setup as to why Mercedes Martinez and Diamante to explain why they're together. But I like this match. I like that they came into it with tag team moves. They came into it with tag team poses and everything. They were ready to team up, and it looked like they've been teaming for years. So I think that was great. And obviously, Chris Statlander's super over here. So I thought this was a well-done tag team match. After that, Samoa Joe picked up the victory over Andrew Everett. Everett being a guy who's been literally almost all over the world in all different companies except for WWE, which is really, I don't understand how not. But this was over pretty quickly. I liked him. Samoa Joe, obviously everybody knows that spot now that's become famous as part of his moveset where he walks out of the way of somebody's move. Andrew Everett was prepped for that and rolled through, and I thought that was a pretty cool thing. The crowd popped big time for that. But Samoa Joe spoke about CM Punk afterwards and called him a coward for not responding to him. So that puts a pin in Samoa Joe and CM Punk. After that, Christian came out and said that he's far superior to Ric Flair or any other wrestler in North Carolina from North Carolina. And he said that Darby Allin will absolutely never get a title shot again as long as he's champion. That has Arn Anderson come out and interrupt with Brock Anderson, which I thought was such a bad segment in total. It leads to Luchasaurus picking up the victory over Brock Anderson to retain. Luchasaurus hit Brock with a really, really nice big boot towards the beginning of the match. But the match, I think, took too long. Prior to Christian and Luchasaurus jumping Brock in the locker room back in June, the last time that we saw him on TV, I think, was April 2022. Why is somebody from April 22, that was the last time they were on TV, getting that much time? That's not building somebody back up. That's just throwing them out there. But Darby jumped Luchasaurus afterwards. It sets up Collision for this week against Christian. And then we saw Powerhouse Hobbs come out. And he was asked about walking away from QTV. And he's like, I don't want their help anymore. The next chapter of my book is called Redemption. So in order to earn that, he calls out the Redeemer, that being Miro. I could have sworn we've already seen this feud, but I don't even think they've ever wrestled. But QTV ended up jumping Miro. He had a quick comeback, but then Hobbs jumped him. And I think as long as somebody's associated with QTV and it continues to be a comedy group, I can't take them as a serious performer. So this feud for me is already off to a bad start. I bought into Powerhouse Hobbs actually being done with QTV. So it's unfortunate. I like Powerhouse Hobbs. I just hate QTV. I like QT Marshall. I just don't like the group. And Miro, it's what they've done with Miro is just garbage. It truly is, because I've been saying this ever since they brought him back, and it's like, oh, hell yeah, it's Miro. He's coming back. He looks strong. He's fantastic. And then it's just the same exact stuff that we've been seeing with Miro, except now he hates things. Main event saw House of Black pick up the victory over CMFTR to retain the Tag Team Trios Championships. Good main event match. Fans were eating up CM Punk versus Malakai Black. And Samoa Joe comes in at the very end and chokes out CM Punk in the crowd. The referee couldn't see it. Julia Hart was distracting the referee. And then House of Black won right after that. So there's your pin. Samoa Joe chokes out CM Punk. Obviously, it's going to happen at All In. Moving over to AEW Dynamite, it kicked off with Orange Cassidy picking up the victory over Wheeler Yuta to retain the championship. We saw this match back in February. That match also opened Dynamite. I would like to see matches from Orange Cassidy. I feel like they always open up Dynamite, him or Darby. I don't know how true that is. But the referee refused to count them out, and I think that's absolutely goofy. I don't understand. If you're a referee, do your job. Why don't they have referees do their job in this company? It makes no sense. The Blackpool Combat Club came out. Orange Cassidy used a variation of the paradigm shift when Moxley showed up. Yuta kicked out of that. Then Orange Cassidy ended up reversing a move with a pin to get that victory. But the Blackpool Combat Club beat him down afterwards. Obviously, the best friends came out to brawl with them. Lucha Brothers showed up to back them up. And then Eddie Kingston returned. And they all beat the Blackpool Combat Club. And Eddie got on a mic and said, All In, Stampede Stadium. So now Blackpool Combat Club has to find three partners for a 12-man match. The last Stadium Stampede I thought was very hokey. And I remember thinking that it was just like a very bad knockoff of the Money in the Bank ladder match that they did at Titan Towers. And we've never had one with a crowd. So maybe this one will be better. But I kind of feel like it's going to be more like Anarchy in the Arena. And I hated that match. I know that people love that match. Some people hated that match. I just think Stadium Stampede is so goofy to do on the biggest show that you're ever going to have. After that, Kenny Omega was interviewed by Jim Ross at Daly's Place for some reason. I guess they're both local to Jacksonville at this point. But Don Callis interrupted, and then the Bullet Club Gold beat Kenny Omega down while Jim Ross just hilariously stood there and watched. And then Adam Page later on spoke about what happened with Kenny Omega from the hospital, drinking a beer. And it sets up Hangman, Kenny Omega, and Ibushi versus Bullet Club Gold and Takeshita. Although I am not quite sure how Takeshita got involved there. Well, I guess with Kenny Omega. I don't know. But Don Callis had an in-ring segment where he brought Chris Jericho out. And he said that he wants to join the Don Callis family, which is something I didn't think he was going to do. And from that point, I thought it was like a very funny segment between the two of them. Then we had Don Callis. He had like a painting under a sheet that Chris Jericho questioned. And Don Callis kept trying to like scurry out of the ring and be like, oh no, forget about it, forget about it. Jericho finally unveils it to see that it's a painting of Don Callis holding a beheaded Chris Jericho. Or I should say Chris Jericho's head, because he wasn't holding the body. And Don Callis was expecting Chris Jericho to say no, so he had that painting out of spite. Nothing good comes from a spite painting. And Jericho lectured him as to why Don Callis has no friends, and Callis ended up Linda McMahon slapping him And Jericho went to attack him, but Takeshita came out with a chair. Will Ospreay showed up and took Jericho out. So something that we thought would happen a few months ago finally took place. And then Sammy Guevara ran down to back them off. So essentially what they did here was set up a tag team match for All In. And then Chris Jericho challenged Will Ospreay to a one-on-one match. I don't understand how that makes any sense. It makes zero sense. You set up a tag team match. There were two competitors on each side. But it's one-on-one. And Takeshita's in the other match for some reason. After that, Jack Perry had a promo just saying that he's retiring the FTW Championship next week. Good riddance. Now, everything that Jungle Boy's been saying about winning a championship before the end of the year, what's he going to do? He's not going to have a title anymore. I have to assume Hook is going to show up and sets up a match for All In. After that, in an FTW rules match at All In, probably. Even though you have Stadium Stampede. Darby Allin and Nick Wayne picked up the victory over the Gates of Agony. Gates of Agony attacked Darby and Nick during their entrance. We saw Swerve and AR Fox come out. How there's no real follow-up from Nick Wayne being left a bloody mess makes absolutely no sense to me. Not much actually happened in this match, but we saw Joker Sting return to pro wrestling. He showed up on the screen to talk about the coffin match. He had Prince Nana held hostage and mainly just did Joker Sting stuff. But how is Nick Wayne the main focus of this storyline yet not in that match at All In? That doesn't make any sense at all. Is Nick Wayne not allowed to go to the UK? I don't understand that. We had MJF and Adam Cole do a segment where they're training together against Aussie Open, so they went to the Outback. Outback, I think, sucks ass. I hate Outback. It's one of the worst restaurants. I think their chicken is disgusting. It's like fake chicken. Their Bloomin' Onion. Oh, the Bloomin' Onion was so good in the 90s. But now it's grease. It's just disgusting grease. It's one of the worst restaurants. I hate Outback so much. So it was awful to see it on television and be put over like that. But Adam Cole had Crocodile Dundee for them to watch. Although MJF had other plans, he showed them showed Adam Cole a video of kangaroos fighting. So he wants to do a kangaroo kick. That'll probably be a huge thing once they do it in the match at All In. But Tony Khan, we see him off air, yell at them. Through the door, I guess. And then later on, MJF went to go take a dump, according to him. And Adam Cole went to the ring. Roderick Strong kicked their car. And he was like, ooh. That's comedic. But MJF and Adam Cole both went to the ring. I thought MJF was leaving Adam Cole there to be by himself. I don't know why they had to include that last part of that last segment. But MJF finally got to talking about All In from 2018, and he said that without All In, there's absolutely no MJF, because it led directly to him getting signed to AEW. I think the segment went on way too long, but for the most part, I thought I thought most of it was really good. Aussie Open jumped them. It just continues to set up their dark match on the biggest pay-per-view of their careers. After that, Jeff Jarrett picked up the victory over Jeff Hardy in a Texas Chainsaw Massacre death match to become the Texas Chainsaw Massacre champion or something like that. Jeff Hardy came out and immediately went to the back to go back to go into the match. I thought that was so goofy. Why not just start backstage? But Satnam Singh got involved, Isaiah Cassidy, Ethan Page, Matt Hardy, Karen Jarrett was there. Leatherface eventually came out to chase Karen Jarrett out off backstage. This, if you watched it, you would know this was one of the worst matches in AEW history. I understand the sponsorship tie-in. I don't understand why it was just two random Like, there's been like little bits and pieces of feud there, but this was just too random of a feud to be put in a match like that. Because there was no meaning to this match. It made no sense whatsoever. After that, Britt Baker picked up the victory over the Bunny to move to All In to that championship match. On Rampage, Britt Baker cut what I would consider like a heelish promo. The match itself was super slow and very awkward at times. And I don't think this was a good follow-up for whatever that previous match was. I think they needed something bigger and more of a punch coming out of that Texas Chainsaw Massacre death match. But the outcome here was very obvious. Even with Penelope Ford getting involved, you knew there was no way that Britt Baker wasn't going to All In. And then after that, we saw the Acclaim come out. And I thought they were supposed to have, well, it seemed like they were supposed to have a match. I was surprised that they were even there because typically they've been like left off Dynamite for a while, I feel like, and just been on Collision, maybe, or Rampage. I can't keep track with that, but House of Black showed up from behind and took them out. And then on Collision, we saw Bullet Club Gold, and they spoke about the Elite. So they're entwined with, I can't keep up with this really. Because it seems like the Elite are feuding with three different groups. It seems like the Bullet Club Gold are feuding with two different groups. Darby Allin's feuding with like three different people, two different people. It's very, very confusing and hard to follow for me. But it leads to the main event where we see the Young Bucks pick up the victory over the Guns. The Guns are part of Bullet Club Gold. The Young Bucks attacked the Guns during their entrance, which I don't know how the Guns didn't see them. They were like right there. But this match started the same exact way that Darby Allin and Nick Wayne started versus the Gates of Agony. I don't think this was a good main event. I don't know what match I would have put in its place. We saw the Guns try to cheat to win, but then the Young Bucks did what they did and cheated to win. I'm fine with that victory. I'm fine with that outcome. We saw the Bullet Club Gold attack the Bucks afterwards. FTR came out from behind to make the save. And then they teased attacking the Bucks just like Adam Cole did to MJF earlier in the night. Where's that person that's saying, oh, we have these two different separate things booked one way. Don't do it again in the night. Don't have it repeat. It makes the spot from earlier less. I feel like that should make 100% sense. But that's AEW Dynamite. Hey, Brandon. Got any shout-outs?
Why did the chicken cross the road to listen to Brandon's shout-outs? Waka waka.
The first shout-out goes to the Jonas Brothers.
Joe Bro.
They opened their new tour with two shows at Yankee Stadium this past weekend and did a 60-song set list. Wow. Even more of more songs at other shows of this tour. They're doing, I think it's five albums of theirs or whatever in one show, which is, it's crazy. I don't understand how maybe their songs are like super short because I think it was like the same like 3-hour timetable that Taylor Swift used, and they used an intermission. But I thought it was pretty crazy when like the very first night of the Eras Tour took place and Taylor Swift was doing 45 songs or whatever it was, and that's like 15 plus more for this Jonas Brothers concert. And I think The most that I've ever heard live was 45 songs at the 25th anniversary of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame concert. Which it would have been more, but I left because it was already super late. My cameras were dead. But, and I also think it might have been 45 at Pete Seeger's 90th birthday concert. But the Jonas Brothers, I've said this before, were one of the most surprising concerts that I've been to. So I'm sure that this tour is even crazier because I wasn't, when I went to see the Jonas Brothers the last time, or the first time, I should say.
Uh-huh.
it wasn't for the Jonas Brothers. I was going because of Bebe Rexha. She opened for them.
Ah.
And I stayed for the whole concert, and they absolutely killed and they rocked. It was like the loudest I've ever heard Madison Square Garden, which still blows my mind to this day.
That's really cool.
First shout out to them.
I'm a big fan of like I like listening to like Priyanka Chopra talk. Nick Jonas's wife.
Yeah, what does she talk about?
I think she's actually very, very, very intelligent. So I like her interviews because she's very well spoken. And you can tell by the way that she's speaking and her mannerisms, like she is highly, highly intelligent. So, yeah, that's why I pay attention to the Jonas Brothers.
Well, WWE 2K23 gets the next shout out as it added its final DLC pack this week, which consists of Wade Barrett, Eve Torres, Andre Chase, Damon Kemp, and Nathan Fraser. So it's awesome to play as them, I think especially Wade Barrett. I just wish his Nexus theme was in the game.
That was always such a good song.
And I wish we were getting more DLC, and it's like maybe we will, but nothing's announced for it.
Mm-hmm.
I know people get into the files and they see a thing that Bad Bunny is locked behind something called DLC 3, an updated attire for Bad Bunny. So typically if they're locked, it would be like My Faction or something else. So with it saying DLC 3, maybe there will be more like free DLC for us coming soon.
Could be.
I'm not sure, but it seems like the only updates, like I said, would be for My Faction, which absolutely sucks because I think we should get all these attires and be able to use them in normal modes. Like, it sucks that the face paint version of Asuka is locked behind My Faction.
That's annoying.
Yeah.
That's annoying.
But my last up is an anti-shout-out.
Okay.
And I feel really bad for giving this an anti-shout-out, but John Cena and Jackie Chan are in a new movie on Netflix called Hidden Strike. And I just think it's a complete waste of both of them. Like,
why?
There's some entertaining parts. Jackie Chan, obviously, is always great in the fight scenes and stuff. But for the most part, I thought it was boring.
Hmm.
The synopsis for it, you see two ex-Special Force soldiers escort a group of civilians along Baghdad's Highway of Death to safety of the Green Zone. It was number one on Netflix the other week. WWE touted about it on programming. And I guess I went into this thinking more like Rush Hour than what it actually was. And it's weird because it sat on the shelf for years. I don't know why it sat on the shelf.
Which movie is this?
Hidden Strike. This was supposed to be released like 5 years ago, I think.
Huh.
And it's just been sitting there, and then Netflix finally picked it up and they released it. I would like to see them do another live action movie together.
Mm-hmm.
Currently, I believe they're both in that new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movie together. But I've yet to see that.
I still have to see.
Yeah.
I still have to see.
It's unfortunate. I really, really think that they were wasted in this movie together.
Hmm.
I really, really think that. Because John Cena is super funny. Jackie Chan can be super funny as well. So, it's unfortunate.
Yeah,
I believe Jackie Chan
is great.
John Cena, I think, has Vacation Friends 2 coming out soon, too.
That's interesting.
So I'm looking forward to that. But those are my shout-outs. Now it's time for
our
Markout Moment of the Week.
That is right, our Markout Moment of the Week. I think I gotta say, right off the bat, big pop for Tacoma FD last week. A bit of a spoiler, perhaps. But Dexter Lumis and David Arquette were both on Tacoma FD last week. And Loomis talks, which is super weird to hear.
Yeah, and it's definitely different.
And it's funny because his name on the show is Dex. So I thought that was also cool. But it, I posted like a mashup of the scenes on our TikTok, at Marking Out on TikTok. And it became our most watched TikTok video. So I think that's pretty cool.
That's that. I like that.
Yeah.
You know?
Something else, I was watching this show on Hulu that they recommended me. It's called This Fool. And I think it, I don't know if it was the first episode or the second episode, they were driving in the car and listening to the radio, and the radio was playing Too Cool's You Look Fly Today theme song, so I popped for that.
That's
I feel
funny.
Like that's not something you normally hear often.
Yeah, yeah.
What do you got? Anything?
I mean, not really.
How about that Salute wedding video?
Yeah, yeah, that's true. There was a... Chris put together a great, great Salute montage. Salute training montage. It was a montage. And it was incredible. It was Salute's greatest hits. And at the very, very end of it, at the very end of the highlight reel, you had their one and only Brett Matthews making an appearance on the video, challenging Salute for the championship. So we do not know what's going to happen next, but
in also, the world if you don't know who
WTW,
if you don't know who Brett Matthews continued? Is, though, it's Brett. one Matt Cardona.
Yes, Matt Cardona.
So I thought that was a pretty cool video.
Yeah, definitely marked out for that. And thank you, Matt. And that was really special. Very cool. Got a good pop from Salute. Chris, incredible work on the video. You know, he always says about how he's a professional and stuff like that, but his work is legit the best work that's out there. This video was just so amazing. I can't praise it enough. My favorite parts were when Salute is hitting crossbody to like Silver Bullet or G Money. And what Chris did was he slowed down those moments of the crossbodies. There was really one spot where Salute hit a high angle slam to Silver Bullet, I believe it was. That looked really sick.
I feel like Sal should have actually gone into wrestling, though.
Right?
Like, it really seems like he should have.
Yeah, no, it was really top-notch where, I mean, we could submit that video to Tough Enough and see what happens.
Yeah, 13-year-old Salute.
You know, but yes, it was an incredible video and amazing job to Chris. Thank you, Chris, for putting on that, to creating that video. And just overall, awesome. Just
and,
awesome.
And cheers to Sal.
Yes, cheers to Sal on getting married soon. Soon.
I also popped big time on NXT when Vic Joseph was promoting No Mercy. And he used the N64 soundtrack for No Mercy to promote it. He was the Dig Diggity Dog part.
Uh-huh.
So I thought that was really funny.
That's cool.
So,
but
that's the mark out moments of the week. That's episode 654. I'm one of your hosts, Brandon. You can follow me on Twitter at BTTG161. Also on Instagram, David at DavidPTDPT on both platforms, Twitter, Instagram, Threads. Chris Sweendog on Twitter, CMSweeney85 on Instagram. Collectively, we are known as Marking Out on Twitter, is at Marking Out. TikTok at Marking Out, Marking Out 11 on Instagram, Threads. And YouTube, Facebook.com/Marking Out, ProWrestlingTees.com/Marking Out. You could check us out, MarkingOut.com, Google Podcasts, Amazon Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, and we wish you
the
best
of luck in your future endeavors.
Fantastic.